Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by CatholicSingles.com is ringing in the new year with savings for singles. You can save 20% by using the promo code BREADBOX when you register for a new account. Come meet other faithful Catholics and make 2020 a year to remember.
Good morning. Beautiful way to start the day by meditating on God's Word. Love and truth go hand in hand. The two wings of the eagle, as John Paul II says. I love the psalm, righteousness and peace have kissed, love and truth have met together. Truth springs up from the ground, a picture of Jesus. If all you have is love, I mean, love is awesome. But if it doesn't have truth with it, then you tend to make poor decisions. In other words, enablers, people who have alcoholic or addictive friends, enabling them. It seems like it's a loving thing to do, but it's really, without truth, it's just destructive. Having compassion on a young woman who's pregnant and encouraging her to have an abortion seems like love, but what about love for the child? The truth that's a living human being in her womb. So we need truth and love, but having truth only is without love, just makes you, can just make you hard. It's like we need both of them, right? Love and truth. And so that's why we're studying the Catechism. We're in paragraph 132. Therefore, the study of the sacred page should be the very soul of sacred theology. The ministry of the Word, so the capital W, the ministry of the Word too, pastoral preaching, catechetics, and all the forms of Christian instruction. So what's happening today is too many places that you go, there's a soft homily being given. Not enough catechetical meat. Not enough doctrine, not enough truth. It's there. So many of the homilies you could just skip because they're basically just saying be nice to one another. The churches that are grounded in Scripture and grounded in the teachings of the Church are the churches that are the most vital and most alive. And we're seeing a time, as Pope Benedict said when he was a priest before he was even a bishop. He had a word saying that the church was going to shrink in size, but be more powerful, more devoted. Hey Frank, good to see you. Tony, Peter, aloha. I didn't see everyone that came on board yet. Yeah, and you know what, Frank? I teach the catechism, but really, it's more than that. It's because everybody is here together and everyone is praying together. We have a small community here of people sharing their day with each other. I start this catechism thread, and then throughout the day people post. But be sure and press the share button as soon as you come on board. We're working hard to get the gospel presented properly, and so why not share it with your friends? So the ministry of the Word, too, pastoral preaching, catechetics, and all forms of Christian instruction, among which the liturgical homily should hold pride of place, is healthily nourished and thrives in holiness through the Word of Scripture. And I just think, let's be honest, I think it's tragic. The homily at the kind of pinnacle of the Mass just before going into the Eucharist, a kind of bridge, it just puts people to sleep. Even if someone uses good stories and keeps people awake, man, you've got 10 minutes there to really impart some vital, dramatic, powerful doctrinal truth, and we just say be nice with each other. That's almost every homily, so many homilies I should say. Unfortunately, I go to a great church, but so many homilies are just be nice, be nice, be nice, be nice. It's as if Jesus, if he is here today, would say be nice to one another. Remember, he was the most controversial person of his age. If Jesus was here today, he wouldn't be going down to the local Starbucks and having a poetry reading about his latest poem called Why Can't We Just All Get Along? We need to be able to speak the truth of love, but we need to be people of truth, people need to be grounded in the truth. There can be so much more truth taught during the homilies. Just go through the catechism over 3 years in the churches. It would be so powerful. We need our priests and our deacons to start preaching, giving us meat instead of pablum. We're not children. People tend to throw up food like that, and then they don't come to church. And if you look at who's in the church pews, are they the powerful? Are they powerful people, or are the people that are just kind of, passive? We need people to be inspired to become great, to greatness, to excellence, to excellence. I mean, I've been convicted. My big New Year's resolution for me is parking my car better. I tend to zip in and zip out, and I could do a much better job of parking my car. Why is that important? Because the way you park your car kind of tells a lot about who you are in the rest of your life. Excellence, the way you walk, the way you carry yourself, what you do first thing in the morning, how you eat, are you getting exercise? We need great people. We need greatness among our Christians. We need to be examples of greatness and excellence so that people will ask us why, and we can share with them because of our love for God. The way we live as humans, there's nothing more, I forget who said it, I don't believe it was Fulton Sheen, I remember it was an early church father first who said it. There's no greater gift to God than a human being fully alive. Be excellent. And I know you're starting off your day by studying the catechism because that's your pursuit. Is God excellent? Be excellent. Be a reflection of your Heavenly Father. The Church forcefully and specifically exhorts all the Christian faithful to learn the surpassing knowledge of Jesus Christ by frequent reading of the Divine Scriptures. I know for most of us that's every day. Ignorance of the Scriptures is ignorance of Christ. That is Dei Verbum, quoting St. Jerome. It's so hard to find the commentaries of St. Jerome. I bought a book called Jerome's Commentaries. You know, he's the one that translated the Bible from Hebrew, the Old Testament from Hebrew, into the vulgar language, the Vulgate, the Latin of his day. And he wrote commentaries too, but it's so hard to actually find them. As a group, I have all the writings of the Anti-Nicene and the Post-Nicene fathers, but I don't have Jerome's commentaries. So, if you find a book that has all of them, let me know. I'd love to have that volume. But he's the one who said, "Ignorance of the Scriptures is ignorance of Christ." I've been there to his cave where he translated the Scriptures. He was just right there in Jerusalem, working night and day. I guess he was kind of grouchy. He didn't like pilgrims coming in and interrupting his work. So here in Croatia, when the priest is at our church gives a homily, this is so deep and profound in theology and wisdom. Yes, we need theology. We need, to talk about the mystery of who Jesus Christ is. Powerful. We need a little philosophy too, right? All sacred scripture is but one book. And this one book is Christ. Because all divine scripture speaks of Christ, and all divine scripture is fulfilled in Christ. That's Hugh of St. Victor writing that. Well, Verbum, Dei Verbum is of course, the writing from the Vatican II document, the Word of God, how to interpret it, how to use it. So I'm sure Jerome is probably, some of his writings are probably in there. The sacred scriptures contain the Word of God, and because they are inspired, they are truly the Word of God, Dei Verbum. God is the author of sacred scripture because He inspired its human authors, He acts in them, and by means of them. He thus gives assurance that their writings teach without error His saving truth. Interpretation of the inspired scriptures must be attentive, above all, to what God wants to reveal through the sacred authors for our salvation. Some artwork, my daughter, Fawn, she had a K gallery in Santa Fe. She's an art curator, but this is some of her art that she put on a coffee cup. What comes from the spirit is not fully understood except by the Holy Spirit's action. The church accepts and venerates as inspired the 46 books of the Old Testament and the 27 books of the New Testament, which is a few more books than what you'll find in the King James Version, because they kicked some of them out. The four Gospels occupy a central place because Christ Jesus is their center. The unity of the two testaments proceeds from the unity of God's plan and His revelation. The Old Testament prepares for the New, and the New Testament fulfills the Old. The two shed light on each other. Both are true word of God. I think De Verbum, of course, has some of Jerome, but I want his entire commentaries on scriptures. It's just not hard to, it's not easy for me to find that on Amazon, because there's some individual books of the Bible that have his commentaries, but there's this one new volume they prepared in 1964 called the Jerome Commentaries, but it's not Jerome's commentaries at all. It's by other theologians. So I'm just trying to find a one-volume set or a complete volume of all of his writings. I'm sure it exists. I just haven't looked at part of that. The church has always venerated the divine scriptures as she venerates the body of the Lord. Hence, that Mass we have, the first half is the liturgy of the Word, the second half is the liturgy of the Eucharist. Both, of course, are Jesus, the Word of God. They both nourish and govern the whole Christian life. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now, I love that because Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You can just imagine in those days they didn't have those really bright flashlights or headlights. They might have a lamp that could shine a little bit down the road, but it certainly wouldn't brighten up very much. Thy word is a lamp to my feet. So often in our personal journey, that's how God leads us, one step at a time. By reading His Word, we know our general direction. We have the lamp, the light, the lamp for the path, light for the path. We really can't see it all clearly, but with the lamp at our feet, we can. And so we can most certainly take one step at a time. The way we do that is by living a life of virtue. Part of living a life of virtue, one of the virtues is faith. One of the virtues is hope. And to me, with faith, that means resting on the Lord as your companion. And asking Him, is this the way? And hearing His voice say, yes, this is the way, follow it. Let the Lord be a lamp unto your feet. You don't need to know what's around the corner. Just today, make every single decision you make. Whether it is to get up when you're supposed to get up, or roll over and to get 5 minutes extra sleep. Start your day with boldness. Start your day with virtue. Start your day with prayer and study. And let everything you do today be excellent. Let you enjoy the sunrise. Seeing these stormy seas out here, and you know, some every now and then there's a big set comes through. It's all storm tossed. Now, just remembering a time when I was surfing Sunset Beach on the North Shore of Oahu on what to me was a big day, and I was apprehensive. I got through the channel, got through the shore bank quickly, and then paddled out, let the rip tide take me out about a quarter of a mile to where the waves were, and I was all nervous and. Big wave would come out of nowhere, and the swell direction was shifting. I was afraid I'd get caught inside. I was nervous that day. And then I saw a honu, a sea turtle, maybe a young one, maybe a year or two old, little sea turtle, a honu, looking at me. Just kind of came up and sat next to me for a while, just kind of looked at me. And a big set came, and he just kind of dove under it, and then he popped up on the other side as I paddled over it. And I said, man, he's not worried about anything. He's just this little thing out here in these big, huge waves. And it caused me just to kind of rest in the Lord. And we need to have that spirit of trusting in God, that in His Word be a lamp unto our feet, just one wave at a time, one paddle stroke at a time, getting our way through life. There's the man right there, Pat Gervais, the voice of our radio show now. Love you guys. And the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, press the share button. Don't forget, I keep promising we're going to release episode 17. We're still working on the credits. We got sidetracked doing some maps for some future episodes. But if you go to patreon.com/BearWozniak and you're a $20 donor, you'll get that probably this coming week, which is probably about 9 months before it comes out on EWTN. Love you guys. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hey, man. I don't want you to miss out on your free stuff at deepadventure.com. Go there and subscribe to our weekly email newsletter. You get free video content, including the Bear Wozniak radio show, video version on YouTube before it even airs on EWTN. And you can follow us on all of our social media. Go to deepadventure.com and subscribe. Get your free stuff. And if you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to press the subscribe button and ring that little bell. Don't miss out.